ahead and call the meeting to order. Dalton Gray.
I am here.
Chris Guy.
Here.
John Moore.
Here.
Mr. Pollard.
Here.
Mr. Wesley.
Here.
And myself. Mr. Foster is at another event tonight. He is unable to attend. Also, number four, I'm going to go ahead and remove. We won't be voting on that tonight. I'm going to give people a little bit more time to look it over and make comments before we go ahead and pass that. So we have another month on that. Did you all have an opportunity to look at the minutes?
No objections here.
Hearing none, the minutes pass. Any public comment?
We were really here to discuss core, so I don't know if you have questions.
But we are perfectly fine with, because I think it needed.
Did you want to say anything in public comment about it?
Sure. I'm Dana, the internal auditor, and I've been working with Bruce and others on the personnel policy on various aspects of it, including inserting a fraud policy and a credit card policy, those of which I was wanting the state's attorney to fully review prior to inserting into the official voted on document. And I think we're almost there.
Almost.
So.
We think.
Waiting for a legal opinion, you know how that.
Well, more than that, one of the things that the chair was indicating is not just give the committee more time, but the department heads as well, to have some opportunity to have some discussion points, etc., and to get that in besides.
Sure.
And just a little other background on that. The credit card policy is something that was recommended in a management letter comment from our audit last year. And the fraud policy is something that just kind of goes hand in hand with it, and it's recommended by all the grant agencies based on the documentation we have to submit when we apply for those grants. So we're trying to make sure we're in compliance so that all of our granting agencies can continue to get their federal funding.
It's important.
So just background, and if you have questions.
Without opening up can of worms, I'm just, what we had prior is not what's proposed. Mm-hmm. Now, is it
correct?
Is that
there's okay. Been potentially some additional information.
Okay. And it's being looked at internally by legal and the affected parties.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Collaborative effort.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
While we're on that topic, I'll just let you know that in the handbook, I was just looking at the index, mm-hmm. like for example, under. It identifies, do you know what I'm going to say?
Go ahead.
On page 43, it's like a hiring or personnel type issue, but in the body of the handbook, it's actually on page 47. So I just bring that to your attention, and there may be other areas that need to be aligned.
There are.
Okay.
The issue that we've run into, quite frankly, is I believe this is revision number 11. And it's hard to keep up with all the revisions and the pages and where we're moving them, etc. If I may take a second.
Please.
The reason for doing this in the first place started with the fact that there have been some minor legal, well, not minor, there have been a few legal changes since the last time the handbook was done in 2015, which led us into, while we're here, why don't we update and upgrade some of the language, et cetera, which led us into working together to see if there are some additional items that should be in there that weren't in there to begin with. So it's a compilation, and that's the reason why it is taking so many revisions. Soon we're going to have to call time out and say we're there. Because there are going to be changes that continue to occur.
Are all current changes identified and marked in red?
We hope so.
Okay, that's you know, one thing as I read.
We hope so.
Okay.
Because, as I said, when you've got that many revisions, they started off in red, and we hope that the reds are still there and adding the new reds.
No, it's not my understanding.
Blue also.
I'm sorry?
Unless she's going to do another comparative, but they're not there when I look at it, so.
Are they in blue?
The comparative document that we talked about back in January had red and blue, and the blue were additions because we consolidated other policies, standalone policies, into this the personnel policy handbook, which included the supervisory policy for non-union supervisors, as well as the department head and appointed officials. And since then, I guess we've also incorporated the affirmative action plan.
That is correct.
In there as well, so that's been an addition in the last month or so, I think. So I'm not sure, I mean, the comparative document, though, is very, if they can go back and do that from the original to where we are today, it's going to look much like the one that we showed you back in January.
Okay, so there's, I'll rephrase my question, there's a color-coded copy that we can take a look at original versus any and all changes?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll be able to do that.
Okay.
We will be able to do that.
Okay. And how does the committee feel about receiving it in electronic form? Do you need a hard copy to go through? How would you?
It doesn't matter to me.
I'm fine with saving a tree, and if I need a hard copy, I can ask for one.
I'm fine with electronic.
Same.
I like hard copy because it's easy for me to read
about.
And
I cannot lie.
I'll accept the electronic copy and I'll work through it. How's that?
You can get whatever you want.
I'm okay with electronic. Although I like the hard copy.
I've heard that.
I do too.
No,
we can always print
fine.
It and put it in your mailbox.
Yeah, electronic's fine.
I like to touch it.
Right. You want what?
I like to have it,
yeah.
To mark up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, awesome, thanks. All right, does anyone have any additional comments, thoughts on that?
For what you've seen thus far, through the revisions that you've suffered, I mean that you've gone through to date.
That sounds like it's addressed the issue we had with comp time, use it or lose it after a certain period of time, and so that's an improvement.
And another, thank you for bringing that up. Another one that we were sort of putting ourselves in a hole with the policy that we had previously by saying you have to work here a year before you can take any vacation, which means we immediately put ourselves behind. So taking a look at the accumulated time as you started starts to take away some of that issue, not all of it. But it does start to take away some of that issue.
You know, a new philosophy in the private sector, and I always like to, because that's where I came out of, but I always like to compare the government sector to the private sector, but new philosophy in the private sector for the last 5 years has been when you hire somebody, they can take their vacation anytime from the day after they're hired.
That is correct.
And the reason being is because every month they earn some anyway. So,
it's an improvement.
It is, yeah. So I do like that.
Okay, so we just encourage everyone to go through it, get in any thoughts or changes that you have to Bruce or Annette, to Bruce, okay, who will then is working pretty closely, I think, with the state's attorney on this.
With Christy Swick, actually.
Okay. For the hope that we can see it again next month. And then, I'm not sure of the order, if it goes to the full board first or if it would go to our union.
I would recommend that you bargain over the impact with the union prior to taking it to the full board. That makes more sense.
Okay.
But that's just my opinion.
That's why I'm asking.
I mean, Carla's the one that would make the determination on, you know, she's the one that has to ultimately sign off on it, but I mean, if it goes to the full board and we have problems with it, then we're going to demand a bargain over the impact, and you can't implement it until we do. So,
Bruce, Commissioners, what's your opinion? Do you see that as...
Well, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I'm fine with that, absolutely fine. But please do understand, what we're talking about is outside of collective bargaining unit. If the rules are in the collective bargaining unit and you're in the collective bargaining unit, the rules apply to you. Period. Question? I'm sorry.
So only part of the policy handbook is going to apply if you try and present it to the county board? I don't understand what you just said.
This is for non-union employees, right?
Yes.
Manual.
Basically.
So the personnel handbook that you just gave me, this applies to everybody. This is non-union and union employees. This isn't supervisory.
This applies to everyone unless there's an exception
in
the collective bargaining agreement.
We're bound by this. We can be disciplined by the rules that are in this.
Some of them. That is correct. Well, all of the disciplinary, absolutely right. But that's the reason why I'm in agreement with the fact that we would sit down and make sure that you didn't have any issue, because I don't want conflict.
Right.
Okay. And there's still some additions, I guess. Are we still adding in these other two policies that I just want to clarify with the auditor? Are those two other policies that are still, I know Christy saw one of them here in the last few days, the revised one for the credit card policy, is that in being incorporated into this as well?
The new credit card policy?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so there's still another revision that needs to come?
Yes.
Okay, so when what you have received from Linda as of last Friday is not a final revised version?
So I understand, which is one of the reasons for the delay.
And then we as a committee will have to look at all that and thumbs up or thumbs down. I mean, so everything we submit isn't going to maybe get included.
That's correct.
It's going to be a recommendation that we're going to look at.
Well,
that by...
I think what the chair is saying is people might have wonderful recommendations, whoever it is, but they may or may not make the final cut.
Correct.
In the approved handbook. There may be objections from the union, there may be some other things that say, this doesn't belong, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it makes sense that the union see it before we go to the board.
Sure.
It's a great idea.
Absolutely.
Have you or the people who would be looking at this been looking at it as we go along?
I just got this.
It's the first time you've seen it?
He just gave it to me when you got your copies.
Okay. I'm just thinking about
ahead of time, but I just got it.
Streamlining the process.
Pardon me?
Have you got questions on it?
Oh, I'm sure I will start going through it, although mine's not color-coded.
Yeah.
I'm just concerned about streamlining process once the union...
No, I'm going to have to dig up the document and compare page by page, line by line.
Okay. Anything further? No other public comment?
No, thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. So then we'll go to number 5, and we have an update from John.
Okay, let's see. I'm going to put it up on the board. I guess everybody's got a printout on this. Did anybody get...
Who
got a printout?
They got them in there, yes.
It is. Oh, they printed out? Okay. Print out.
Where'd you get that?
I just printed off.
Okay. All right.
I got one. I need
Chris, do you have any more?
Well, you'll see.
All right. What I was doing is comparing the budget headcount to the actual payroll. And where I started at was column D. That was a report from payroll that was ran May the 9th. And I use that format because we really want to compress. That's where we're going to start at. And they categorize people in four different categories: full time, part time, temp, or seasonal. And what this is you, because you won't see it on the handout you've got. This is subtotal. You see the totals of the subtotals. You're not seeing any comments or anything. But I'm going to expand this so you can start seeing some here. And this is actually more useful. It just takes up a few pages once you do that. And I broke it out by county board. And then because a couple of the grant programs really throw the numbers off quite a bit, I pulled out ComDev and employment training, put them in the middle. Then I went down and put elected down below. But it's really not useful unless you can see the detail. So for like 9/11, let's see, full-time, part-time, temp. This is what, these numbers are reflected in payroll, 6, 1, and 0. Compared to the budget, 7, 1, and 0, they're under 1 here. And that's how you have to look at this as you go down through there. And that's because Dana is actually the interim director down there. So she's really like filling two spots, and that's why I would assume they're down one below. Admin services, and here again, they're over 1 in full-time, budget to actual, but they're under 1 in part-time. Net out, dollar-wise, it's dead on, you know. But this is the apples to apples looking at it this way. Admin services, yes.
Well, I got a question on that. If they're plus 1 full-time and minus 1 part-time, would that be a budget anomaly? Would there be, because you've got a full-time extra and a part-time that you're offsetting it with.
Is that because we're down a department head?
Yes.
But whenever I was the purchasing tech, I was a part-time in purchasing and a part-time in county board.
Okay.
So I was paid under actually 3 budgets.
Okay.
I was in personnel, county board,
it's
and
gonna be close,
admin services.
Really close here, because we have this much set aside.
Okay.
I
follow
but
that.
But that's
now.
Like a low-level
clerical
is what
it
is, that one person.
Right.
Okay.
And you can go down through here. Did anybody have any questions from what they looked at? I can go, you want to go department to department? I can.
Did we get the file with the expanded view on it? I looked at it, but I didn't expand it.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I can send it to you guys.
Yeah, I'd like to see the expanded view.
Because border review, here they had 3 full-time, of course, and they had a place for 1, I can't see. That should be a temp, but it's not a temp. What time's that end? There we go. And in their budget, they said $7,800 for seasonal help. They just haven't hired the person as of this time, May the 9th. And then we go on down to CAC. Let's see, 11 full-time. They're dead on that one. Here's your total. And see, these things roll back up when you do your little... When you do this, you can either do 1, and they all roll up by category. If you do 2 up in the upper left-hand, it expands it just to what you got. And then when you do 3... It'll expand it even further down to the detail that you really need.
Okay.
So you can do it individually also.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can roll it back up when you want to. Like CAC, we just did. I'm going to roll that up. The assessor's office. Now, they had 28 in their budget, but they also included the 2 township assessors, which I don't think we ever hired because I don't think that ever passed, right?
Alton didn't pass, right?
Correct. Okay, so that's why they're off 2 there in their total. County board, this is something that's always been kind of weird. The county board and the HR, is it HR? Let me look right here. County board, like we're showing 1 over here. And then we have 2, that's the county board. And I slid the HR personnel in there with it. Because there's just, you can see there were 1 over here, but 2 under there. And that's full-time people. And it's just been an anomaly we've had with payroll and the budgeting ever since I've started. At least, I guess we can take care of it at some point. We'll fix that. So we're netting out being 1 under there. Here's the part-time, of course, is the board members. And temp, we had 1 actual here. So that nets out to be, when you look at it, dead on. EMA, of course, is 3 for 3. Facilities was 19 for 19. And of that, 1 gentleman is budgeted partly here and partly in the circuit clerk. But I'm counting his headcount here. And that's where it gets kind of weird between the budget and the payroll. Because payroll they hit in the budget, they're actually assigned to. but afterwards their money might be allocated to another department. So you got to be really careful with that and double check that as you go through and check these things. Health department, I don't know why she's so far under budget, but most of her stuff is, even though it's budgeted, it's grant money. You know, it's all paid for the most part grants, or I think all grants. I'm showing her 6 under on full time, 1 over on part time, and 1 under on temp. I've not followed up with Tony to find out what's causing that.
There's at least 2 positions that haven't been filled for a couple of years. And she put those back in the budget.
All right, so there's another one in retirement that just happened.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's retirement.
Okay, and then we'll go down here and roll that one up. Highway is an odd one. They're actually 2 under on full time, but they got their 20 in here for seasonal that are budgeted. They haven't hired those yet, so they haven't hit payroll. So that's throwing that whole top category way out of whack, 20 below. In another month, I imagine when they get hired, we'll all be
even.
They're starting to hire them out. Okay, good. Housing Authority is a separate line item. Even though they're all part time, it's 6 for 6. Infotech, 18 budgeted. We have actually 16 in here. I know they have a couple of, I think, at least maybe 1 open position there. I'm not sure if I got anything open right now. But I'm including the 3 GIS people in this one, as well as I'm not including the system engineer that works 90% in the circuit clerk. She's counted over there in the circuit clerk's office. So those are just notes over here, because it gets a little bit strange when they go in different departments like that.
What about the one that's in 911? Remember how we...
He's in
911 now.
Okay.
Yes.
So he's not one of the 2 that are down?
No. He's actually counted up there.
Okay.
And for instance, there's like 3.5 sheriff's people in 911, but they're not recorded in the headcount up here. I've got them in the sheriff's budget, because that's where they're hitting their payroll. And that's where you have to watch out for those guys that are in one department, but their money, or part of their money, guys or girls, will hit another department. So I'll go back down. Let's see, mental health, of course, they're on 2 for 2. Museum, 2 full-time, they're on. Part-time, they have 3 budgeted, but 4 actual. But in the budget, they show 1 as a temp, but that person is coded as a part-time in payroll. So they are, in total, right on. Planning and development, he's under in full-time. 3 people over in part-time and under in temps. And the temps include the 7 zoning board members. Safety and risk, we're 1 under in full-time employees. We have 1 temp though, so they're a net 0. Headcount change.
She's part-time.
That's not what payroll shows. This is from payroll report right here.
She's only part-time.
Okay. SSA, we're 11 for 11 budgeted. BAC, we're under 2 full-time and 1 temp over. I don't know. He's got job postings and what's going on there. And then I go down, I pull out ComDev and employment training, because we really don't have budgets on this.
That's where I'm stopping.
And they're all grant funded anyways. But we do have the numbers on them, like full-time 23, they actually have 24, so they're 1 over there. Part-time budget 6, they've got 9. Temp budget 3, they got 1. So it's netting out to being 2 over, but it's all paid for grant money anyways. And their grants kind of come and go all throughout the year. The money comes and goes. Employment and training, that's really throwing us off. Tony is here because doesn't really have a budget. We do it either. Full-time, he's on at 15. He's got 1 more part-time than I showed in the headcount I was given during the budget. But his temps, you know, he's got 60 temps on payroll, but there's not a budget. But it's all grant money. It's all paid for the grant. So it's not affecting us. That's why I called those 2.
Yeah, I don't know who that 1 part-timer is. I think we need to investigate that. I shouldn't have anybody part-time.
All right.
I thought that was you.
Is the 60 temps, you actually have those bodies?
So they're work experience slots. So they're youth that are out working, and they're considered county employees because we cover the workers' comp for them. So So they get paid $10 an hour.
Yeah, they're under grants, I know, but you actually have those bodies.
Yeah, I would have to check and find out what the number is currently, so.
In the list.
All right, we'll go down to the bottom section.
What John has done differently here than the earlier reports, Ray, that he did, is he's coordinated these two together so that they match.
Yeah, I definitely didn't want you to get a payroll report and say, John, that says 950, and you're saying 960. I wanted those. I started with the payroll reports, then backed in and compared it to the budgets, is what I did.
And this report, I understand, is going to be quarterly? Is that...
Oh, I can do it as often as you want to. The hard part's done. Doing the budget part was the hard part.
Okay.
Updating it to the actual numbers is simple. I can do it whenever you want it. And I'm doing 2017 and 2018, so you'll see columns for that. So you'll see over the couple of years the actual budgeted headcount, what's changed in the last couple of years. Because there's been ups and downs in different departments. Auditors, dead on, 10 full-time, 1 part-time. For 11 total, circuit clerk, 11 for 11 full, let's see, 81 to 80, they're 1 under budget full-time, 1 under budget temp. Circuit court, under and full-time, 3 people. Coroner is dead on headcount. County clerk is 2 under full-time. 1 over temp, 1 over seasonal. They're netting out to 0. I don't know what the difference is, these two people here, but they net out to be 0. Detention home, 1 part-time over budget, but they're on here. And I don't have an answer for that. I haven't had a chance to follow up with anybody. But these are minor, and these might very well change next month. It could be summertime, it could be an intern I didn't account for, I missed, or something like that, or summer intern type thing. Because you're going to see that down below when it comes to state's attorneys. Probation, 53 for 53 in the budget, all full-time. Public defender, 18 for 18 on full-time. They're 2 under part-time, which I made a note. They have money in there for 2 summer interns. I'm assuming that's going to be the other 2 people. And it's not summer quite yet, so those will probably fill out. I just did something here. Recorder. Now, what they've done is they've got 12 people in their budget. They actually got 13. 12 of them they split between their 2 different funds, their admin and their automation fund. So it's 12 split between the two, but all in all, it's 13 budgeted, and they've got 13. Now, the ROE, I don't know why it keeps popping over like that. ROE, they have 32 budgeted, and I know that because I see that number, but see, we only budget for 9 people when we do the budget for Regional Office of Education. Those other people hit payroll, but then all their money gets moved out to their grants and their system that they keep track on. So they've got 33 people. Full-time on the payroll right now, 8 part-time. From what the records I had last summer when I started this, I saw 32 and 6, but I said in my notes over here, in the budget actually, there's only 9 full-time and 5 part-time, so the rest of it's all grant paid anyways. It's all hitting those other budgets we don't even see.
When you say grant paid, does that include state money?
I'm not sure. That's all state money, isn't it?
Yeah, should be.
Okay, it's really not. It's really not grants.
It goes through their state financial system.
I know
some of them are grants, though.
Okay.
All right. Any questions about this one?
On the ROE, you said there actually 1 over on the actuals, 33 versus 32 budgeted.
Well, compared to what I saw last year when I started, but you can't really say it's actual because I only have 9 people on the budget for full-time. The rest of them are all employees of ROE. We pay their payroll, but then all that money gets transferred over to their financial system. So we don't have budgets on those. We only have 9 people full-time in the budget for ROE. The balance are employees of ROE, but they're not ones we do budgets for.
I just know that last year they asked for additional money at the end of the year for salaries.
Yes. Yes.
So I just wondered if this could play into it again.
That would have been the 9 and 5. It would have been the budget that contains the 9 and 5. The 9 full-time and the 5 part-time. But they've got 14 other budgets, I believe, that we don't do. Those are all their budgets that these other people apply to.
With the change that's going to take place in July, would you expect any of these numbers to change, or do you know?
You talking about the ones that are on our, the ones that we budget for? No, I don't expect those to change in July.
When I'm talking about the change, I'm talking about changing in the regional superintendent. You got a new regional superintendent coming in. Would you expect these numbers to stay the same or change? We haven't got a feel for that.
Probably up to him, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm saying. It would be up to him, I'm sure. But Don, that may answer your question about the end of the year. That's what I was getting at.
I would think it'd be more contingent on when the grants run out, if there's grant funding.
Right, that's true.
Whether they're continuing the grant or applying for new grants.
I think also their teachers' count changes too as their students in that one school.
Yes, yeah. Please excuse me.
Don't go away mad.
Where's the camera when you need it?
Yes, see.
So I think something we want to keep an eye on is if people are living outside of their means, do they then come later and ask for an emergency appropriation? Like, is it something that we could avoid from happening, maybe?
Well, you're talking about like in headcount, especially? You're talking about payroll?
It's all related.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of people will hold, I mean, they'll juggle what they spend in other accounts as well. You know, I know.
Well, let's just say an example, if I may use one. I don't know what department, I don't remember which one she used as an example. But basically, she's saying, let's say you've got X number of dollars for computers.
Yeah.
And you need the help over in for salaries, so you take the money out of salaries, and then you come back to the board and say, oh, we really need those computers. We need an emergency appropriation for computers. Wait a minute, if you would have come to us for manpower, we may or may not have agreed. Now you're going around. Did I reflect that the way you meant it?
You did.
Okay.
It's very hard to follow the money trail.
Oh, it is.
They have options really right now.
Yes.
Yeah. They could. They very well could. But hopefully they would make up the money somewhere else. It's typically what I think they do. They make up, like you said, you know. But if they need computers, they need computers, and they'll ask for them later.
Yes, but can we just be transparent about it, you know, and not circumvent the system?
Well, yes.
That'll be up to us as board members to ask the right questions. What it boils down to.
More, John?
All right. Any more questions on the ROE?
So my head count will go up to July 1 when Jerseyville and Calvin join us, because we're taking over the Jerseyville office and the two employees here and there. So.
There's something that the head
employee. Sorry. Say that.
No, I said there's some that have had added employees that have shifted from other lines to cover them.
So this line right here is the...
Might be okay, but...
So Jennifer, can I ask a question, a follow-up on that? If they did move money internally to cover new employees, then that budget line they took money from next year, when they get money in that line, is it going to be reduced by that same amount?
That would depend on how they submit the budget. I mean, the personnel budget is one that there's been issues with the last couple of years, so. There's budget pulled from the health insurance claims line to cover salaries that weren't budgeted.
That was covering reappropriation, though. She's talking about my salary.
Well, that's an example of what you're talking
about. But they move money around all the time at the end of the year with transfers between budgets.
Right. My point is, though, that this year may be a little different, at least I'm thinking anyway. We'll see what happens. But if they use money from different lines to cover other areas, then the new budget for the next year, those, if the money's not needed on a line, you can move it somewhere else, and we need to lower that amount of money on that line versus giving the same amount, and then hence we're going to end up raising taxes again. Because you can't, if this is not the way the budget is, this is my two cents on how that works.
Yeah, unless extraordinary circumstances say they do need.
There's always extenuating, mitigating circumstances.
I'm working on a sheet done to help the finance company, showing me like a 3-year trend by line, by budget. I got the new guy in IT to help me do that. Because it doesn't, I think that the reports you get could show more transparency on them. And just like you don't see the transfers and the reallocations and stuff like that, except you see on the 12 month, you approve it in your monthly meetings, but this is all in one place. So you'll be able to see that, you asked for 10,000 in computers in 16, 17, and 18, but you never spend it, but yet you're asking for it again. You'll be able to see that line of detail this year during the budget.
Yeah. And they may have spent that $10,000, but on something else because of a need or a budget overrun.
Exactly.
So is the IT person working on that report for you?
Yeah. I'm using what you've given me and then manipulating the Excel after the fact because I didn't know. I'd asked you if you could help me with it. I never heard back, so he's going to help me with it. He's really good at the stuff. So are we done with the ROE and we're done with Sheriff now? Sheriff Admin, he's dead on at 106. He's got a lot of budgets right there, but they all add up to be okay. And Sheriff Jail, he's actually 2 under. His budgeted headcount full-time. And then, of course, the Merit Board, they're just 4 part-time people. But they're pulled out separately in payroll, so I list them separately here in this report as well. Just so it's, if you're looking at the two, they make sense. They clear together. Here, State's Attorney, this is what I was talking about earlier. He's actually 2 under in full-time, and he's dead on in part-time. I show he's 5 over in temp, but that's a little bit misleading because he's got $60,000 for student internships, and I'm not sure how many people that is. I'm sure it's probably 5 of those overages, if not all 7 of them, and even more. I don't know what a student intern, but he's got a big bucket of money there, and I think he's fine with his money and that headcount. I just don't know what the headcount is there. I don't know what a student internship would cost over the summer, but again, he's got a big pot of money there to work with. I'm not worried about those 5 people right there at all. The treasurer, he's dead on full-time people, and he's actually 300 in temps, which the temps are kind of misleading because there's only one person in payroll, but the temps were called out as a tech sell automation fund, and I think that's only once a year, a couple times a year. It's not very often, is it?
So, I've got a question back on the State's Attorney.
Yeah.
Does his revenue piece fluctuate? And the only reason I'm asking is I read an article about that seizure of that $727,000. He's expecting at some point in time to get about $90,000 out of that for the State's Attorney's Office. Now, how would that impact his budget? Would he be able to infuse that into his budget in any way he wants to? Or how do you handle that as the auditor if a budget's set?
Forfeitures go into a special revenue fund for forfeitures.
Okay.
So he doesn't generally charge salaries to the forfeiture budgets.
Okay.
And I can actually answer some of that.
Okay.
Because I was listening at the judicial, I don't know if you got a chance to go, but that question came up at judicial, and I believe it was Major Connor who said there are specific requirements for what that money can be used for.
I think it's a great windfall. I just didn't know how it got infused in.
In other words, if you've got a budget item, if I understood him correctly, that money that comes in can't be used in exchange for that, but if you need additional vests,
yes,
or if you need some of that sort of thing, or a department, a community police department needs something, that money can go to that.
I know he budgets for these cameras that are being put up all over town, so, I don't know. I'm finding out in government there's specific rules for how you can spend money, no matter how it comes in. So I'm sure there's rules governing that as well. But
forfeitures tend to be capital expenses.
Okay. so they can buy things with it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't go in their office.
Like a metal detector?
Quite possibly.
Isn't that on our...
I mean, like I say, I think it's a great windfall. I just didn't know how it all got confused.
Oh, clarify real quick. He's not helping with the general ledgers, Jennifer. It's the budget thing. He wrote me a macro to pull your year to date. But you know, you sent out the file with 180 tabs. Well, I've just got one sheet with everybody bucketed, like all the my department. Out, you know, if you have 2020 budget, you have them. They're all lined up. You know, their special revenue general fund, they're all in one. It shows your original budget, your reallocation, reappropriation, your immediate emergency, your transfers, your new budget, and it now will show, when you send me the report, where we're at year-to-day by budget, and I'll do a percentage on that. So it'll be something that's just a quick one-page reference at all the budgets where we're at year-to-day. I think it's just so much easier to manipulate than the file with it you send. You got all the detail, but it's hard to put them all together and all the see where they all lump up together year to date. It's just 180 tabs or whatever. It changes every month when we get new money and stuff. So this is just a one page. I hope it helps. It helps me keep everything straight in my head.
Is this beneficial?
I can do this every month, I think every quarter, whatever you guys want. We get budget time, we can do it more often.
Committee think?
Once a quarter would be plenty, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's beneficial information because it kind of summarizes what we always ask, you know, how we're doing.
But I wouldn't think it would change that much by the month. I mean,
now, but keep in mind, this is only hitting the salary piece of it, of the budget. You know, this doesn't hit the other expenditures, and that's something that I know Don's watching pretty close to, is all the other stuff. You know, this is just a salary piece, but it is helpful, I think.
Quarterly, maybe?
So just by looking at this, the bottom line here, we're looking pretty good, right? I mean, so we should come in under in salaries.
Where's your... keep scrolling down.
If you subtract...
That's an alarming number right there.
Well, if you subtract the grant money or the highway...
It's all Tony. And actually, I can take this highway temp number if you want, and I can pull that 20 and put it down here with the grant stuff, because that's really throwing you off here as well.
So if you take those out, you have budgeted for 861 FTEs, and there's only 842 actual. So that's what I'm saying. We're sitting okay, you know, as far as salary.
Yeah, the way that's broken out, it's a little misleading.
Would you agree with that, Jennifer?
I mean, I think there's some variables you can work into that.
That maybe they won't look that good in actuality?
I mean, that's assuming that all the employees are being paid what they were budgeted at and that there's not large amounts of overtime or comp time going in. Because the just straight-up manpower count doesn't factor in those
issues.
You're
absolutely right. This is just headcount.
Right.
This isn't expense.
You say you're going to do 2016 and 17 also on this?
I want to do 17 and 18.
That's right, man. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Because I'd be curious to see how more headcount that we have than we did in 2016 or 17.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, John?
Oh, no, not anything else.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. Good info.
You guys want that email to you?
Yes, please.
Yeah. All right, moving right along. We have no new business that I know of. Old business. Ned.
I just wanted to provide a quick update. We did the blood pressure screenings on Friday, May 3rd. In collaboration with the SIUE pharmacies, the School of Pharmacy, and the Health Department. There was 9 different locations throughout the county and county buildings that had personnel there doing the blood pressure screenings. 172 total employees participated. So, and then I did get a report, and I failed to grab the sheets of paper before I left today, but we did get a report from CBIZ, who was our insurance broker for our health benefits program, and we our claims numbers for the period ending April 30th is we are down from $755 per subscriber per month to $737 per subscriber per month. So we are looking very good again for our current fiscal year, plan year. So hopefully things continue that way for the 5 months that we already have in claims data. So
is that a direct reflection of claims numbers? I know you, in other words, if we had 1,000 claims, are we down to 900? I mean, I'm.
No, that's dollar amounts.
Right,
so
I know that.
They look at an average over the per subscriber per month, and they look at that. Like I said, I didn't bring all the, there's more detailed reports that I have. This is just something we get on a monthly basis that just kind of tells us as a snapshot, here's where we are. And we're just in preparation for our renewal. We're hoping that maybe we won't have to make any changes and things can remain the same. We are going out for bid on our health benefits plan. So they have started that process. So I will be back here later, probably September timeframe, asking for approval of our TPA services. Whether we'll stay with United Healthcare or not remains to be seen depending upon what proposals they get back from other carriers. They will go out again for a stop-loss coverage. Like we did last year, we did end up going with a separate company for that this year and didn't stay with United Healthcare. Dental, right now we're in a two-year renewal, so we will not be looking at changing that. Vision is up for renewal, and we'll look at different options there. We are also looking at the possibility of splitting out the prescriptions. There might be some savings for us to not keep that with United Healthcare and go out separately. It can be a little problematic just making a transition, so we have to kind of evaluate and see if it's really worth it. Just like the same thing if we would change plan options, it's got to be worth the money to do it because it is it can be a lot of extra work, and it's, you know, a lot of times employees don't like that change either, so we have to make sure that's really worth it as well.
And that analysis is only for health and welfare, correct? That does not include work comp?
And then finally, this isn't really wellness, but I guess maybe overall, it's for the well-being of our employees. We are going to be doing a fire drill here in the administration building. We've met with all the departments. They put together a site safety plan. We individualize those for their departments to consider other things in the event that they have to evacuate the building or shelter in place, such things as to what do they do with money and other valuables and you know, locking things up and things like that. So they each have their own specified site safety plan. It's only for the admin building. We're going to be doing a fire drill where they will evacuate the building on the afternoon of May 22nd at 2 p.m. So,
weather permitting.
Have you ever done anything like that before, or will this be a first?
Personally, I've participated in them in the past. I used to work out at the I think they call it the Gold Tower out there at Westport Plaza, and we used to actually do this, I think every 6 months we would evacuate the building, so.
Is this a first for the county?
It's been a long time since I've done it, before my time with the county, so we've worked extensively together with facilities, emergency management agency, Tony Bell County has been very involved. We've worked with the Eppersville Fire Department, will be here as well, have staff here. And Stacy Perjack has been very involved with this as well from my department. So,
do we have any committee meetings on the evening, on the afternoon of the 22nd?
I'm unaware of nothing right now.
Okay, just a question.
So they're testing you too.
No, we'll let those people burn.
I will be out in the plaza and blocking people from going into the building at that time is my role. So, but they will be asked to actually, as long as the weather is not terrible, we will be evacuating the building. The shelter in place area for this building is actually with the Sheriff's Department. So this is something that's been in process, but we had to wait for some of this concrete work to also be finished up so that we could get people safely over there. So So they've all been, there's been individual meetings with each department. They're supposed to be then conveying that information, you know, with some emergency, designated emergency coordinators in each department. And then they will make sure that people get over to where they're supposed to be, take attendance, and then we will issue an all clear once the building has been walked through. And then we'll do kind of what we call a hot wash afterwards, just to see how things went. And then we'll be working on those site safety plans in the other buildings as well. So this is the test building.
Are we going to get emergency management involved with this and set up a command center?
They haven't talked about that, but I'll call Tony and ask them about that. If they're,
I mean, that's all part of it.
The command center is currently, I think, in Calhoun County with the flood.
We could all meet up there.
I have to swim.
I know where they keep it. So
yeah. No, that's typically part of
We haven't mentioned that, but the flagpole over there, I think, is where everyone's meeting.
Yeah.
We've asked them kind of designate different areas over there.
Okay.
Like I said, weather dependent.
Question, do you want any publicity prior so people know?
We were debating about that. I think we're just going to put some signs up on the doors, the entrance doors, just to tell people. Individual departments are also supposed to make arrangements that they do have people in their departments to make sure that they're properly, taken out of the building. If there's people that cannot exit the building, they know that they're supposed to go to the closest stairwell and stay there. So we're not asking people that cannot climb descend or climb stairs to do that. They will stay in the stairwell area. So
since this is a public building and you've got a lot of the public that comes in here every day,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You may want to consider what Scott wants to do.
Yeah,
but that's up to you. But
Tony, we had talked about that. I'll follow up again with Tony and the fire chief and see what they say.
Because some of the general public won't come that day if they know there's going to be a drill.
Yeah.
And if they do come without knowing there's going to be a drill, their law will be aggravated.
Yeah. We had here a week or two ago, I guess it was when the tornado warning came out.
Yeah.
I still have people like just walking in and they're going up the stairs. They're like, well, I got a probation appointment. I'm like, well, there's a tornado warning. And it wasn't until I had a chance to go downstairs and actually see the map and realize, okay, it was north of us. It was already Moraine and we were in the clear. Then we could call an all clear. But it was kind of like, you know, the code red went off and I was out here going,
I was stuck in the jail.
You were stuck in the jail?
Oh yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
I was there for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So once
I had an opportunity to get down to facilities and see the map on the TV,
everything.
You know, check
yeah.
the
yeah.
but that's why we're encouraging all the departments to have some people that have the code red access, check the radar, you know, and make those individual, you know, be responsible individually within those departments because we don't have a way to notify everyone in the building. There's not a voice system that.
Otherwise, you're going to get some phone calls.
So.
Gotcha.
Just saying.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very interesting.
Madam Chair, I have one more question under old business.
Okay.
Not to belabor this, want to make sure that everybody got the changes that were asked for from the last meeting for employee recognition and safety. Mr. Wesley and I are still working on the safety elements as far as that goes. We should have a report next month, I would think, on how we're doing. Is that fair?
That's fair to say.
Got that.
Still, okay. Still working on the safety.
Safety committee?
Yes.
I guess that's what you're referring to. Okay.
Anything additional? Would anyone like to motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Might want to tell an ice cream truck to pull out after that fire drill.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like that.
If you get
the
paper, that's probably what will happen.
That's a great idea.
We're hoping to have it in and out.
Now that she's turned it off. So
oh,
they can
not yet.
Process
so,
you.
Don't go
they can process you now 40 minutes at the jail to get you in. Book.